So last week, after second service, a dear sister in Christ of mine, beautiful lady, approaches me at the end of service, and she says, "I think I need to be rebaptized." I said, "Oh, okay, I remember when you were baptized the first time. I know you love Jesus. I've seen you worship. I know you're a person who follows him with your life. Why do you think you need to be baptized, rebaptized?" And she said, "Because I don't feel like I'm following him faithfully right now. And I'm not sure that God loves me anymore because of that. And I'm not sure I'm going to heaven today. And I think I need to be rebaptized." And I was like, okay, first of all, that's not an uncommon question. We get asked that all the time. In fact, I can recall dozens of times people that are close to me that follow Jesus that would ask that question. "Hey, I'm having a hard time right now. I'm falling. What am I secure in my salvation?" And like I said, this young lady is a follower of Jesus and yet was doubting her salvation. Is it secure? Maybe you've asked those questions too. Maybe you know someone who's asked you that question. This question of eternal security. I mean, questions like this. If I'm a Christian, how many of y'all Christians today? All right, you follow Jesus. If I'm a Christian, can I lose my salvation? Interesting. Get your wheels turning a little bit. What about this? This better way of wording it is, can a saved follower of Jesus become an unsaved unfollower of Jesus? What do you think? Interesting question. Interesting question. Can I be sure that I'm saved? Like, really? Do you really know? And what about, should I get rebaptized? Great questions. Again, not uncommon questions for us. In fact, I believe these are next level questions. Questions that we're going to continue to ask because, of some of the things that we're talking about today. Now, for this next level series, we have been in the book of John. It's been a great study. We've been in John chapter 1 and chapter 4 and chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 6. And today we're going to jump into chapter 10. It is part of our Core 52 series. We've been doing this all year long, 52 key concepts in scriptures. Hopefully you've been tracking, reading the book, watching the videos, and checking this stuff out. And today our topic is eternal security. Like, not Social Security, all right? I know some of y'all got Social Security, and some of y'all are wondering if you're going to have Social Security. I'm not sure. Not talking about job security, you know, a relationship. We're talking about, are you going to heaven forever one day? Like, eternal security. This is a big, big deal. So, what is it that we, and you might have walked in today and go, man, I just said those words, eternal security, and you know, maybe you're watching online or you're up in building B, you're here in the, and you're going, yes, man, I can't believe we're talking about, like, I've been waiting to talk about this. That's great. And some of y'all are going, well, I walked in today, might as well listen. He's going to be talking up there anyways. And some of y'all are wondering, why in the world are we even talking about eternal security? All kinds of things, all kinds of people coming today. I believe, and here's the reason, I believe that God wants us to have some level of personal assurance in our salvation. He wants us to own this and understand it. He wants us to live our lives knowing that our eternity is absolutely secure in the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of his one and only son, Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, who came from earth and lived a perfect life before our eyes, who taught and healed and ultimately died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins and rose from the grave so that we can have new life in him. I believe God wants us to have assurance in our salvation in Jesus. So, the book of John. As I mentioned, we've been through a few chapters. I want to go ahead and turn your attention to John chapter 10, okay, John 10. So again, if you're watching, you can go ahead and turn there. If you're sitting here in the audience and you want to reach in front of you, if you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles underneath the chairs. Help your friends find John chapter 10 in your New Testaments, all right? Go ahead and find that. And as you are, I'm going to give you a little background, a little context. In John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking specifically to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are these religious leaders who were at this moment trying to end Jesus's ministry and ultimately end his life. So they were not on the same page, okay? And Jesus is teaching them here. And what he's doing in John chapter 10 is he's given them this allegory, this amazing allegory. It's pretty famous. You've probably heard this before. Jesus is calling himself, describing himself as something, and his people as something. He describes himself as the good shepherd. Heard that before? I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. He says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Guess who his sheep are? His followers, right? He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So we've got this allegory going on. It's pretty cool. And if you read through it, I hope you are. I hope you have your Bibles open, and you'll just kind of scroll through there, and you see Jesus has given all through that chapter these amazing words of comfort. He's giving encouragement. He's given assurance to his people, his sheep, all along the way. And if we know anything about sheep and shepherds in the New Testament especially, we understand that shepherds' responsibility is to guide and to guard and to give, to provide for the sheep. And that's what Jesus is talking about there in John chapter 10. But at the same time, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees who are threatening the life of his sheep. So he's also saying here something very confrontational, something very offensive. He's warning the Pharisees. So John 10, 22, we pick up about halfway through the chapter. The Feast of Dedication is happening there in Jerusalem. All right, in the Feast of Dedication, there's all kinds of Jews are gathering around, and in the front row seats are the Pharisees. Like he is talking to them. And after all this talk back and forth, you know, they finally ask this question: how long will you keep us in suspense? Like, enough of the sheep talk, all right? Tell us once and for all, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly, all right? It's almost hilarious. And then verse 25, Jesus answers them. Listen to what he says. He says, I told you, and you don't believe. The words that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. Who's he talking to? The Pharisees. He's like drawing a line in the sand. I've got my sheep and I've got some of you are not. Then verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Verse 27, then verse 28, Jesus says these words, I give them, my sheep, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And then in verse 29, he doubles down, all right, he goes big. My Father who has given them, my sheep, who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Like, God and I are one and the same. How do you think that went over? Not good. They reach down, they grab some stones. They're about to kill him right then and there, and Jesus has to disappear. So as we read through that account, I want to bounce back to verse 28. This is our core 52 verse for the week, our memory verse, and take a closer look at it. Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I know you see it. Let's read that together. All right, all of us together on three. One, two, three. I give them eternal life. Help me out. And they will never perish. And? Those words that you just read, words of Jesus, some believe these words to be the clearest words Jesus ever said about eternal security, the eternal security of his followers. But I want you to notice in those words that Jesus does not address the question of whether sheep can leave the flock. See that? Or whether they can become non-followers. Does Jesus answer the question? He says, no one will snatch them out of my hand, but does he answer the question of if a sheep can leave the shepherd and wander off and die? Notice what he doesn't say there. But what he does do, and I love this, what he does do is he gives us three amazing promises for his sheep right here in this passage. Three things. I want you to take a look at them, okay, as up on the screen. First of all, John 10, 28, Jesus is the giver. Okay, he's the giver of a gift. Jesus says these words, I give them, I give my sheep. You see it there? This is Jesus. He is the one offering the gift. Don't miss this, all right? Don't miss Jesus. I give them. He is the giver. Jesus alone gives the gift. And why does he give the gift? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. Jesus gives this gift out of love. He loves you. He loves me. Just like the song said, maybe you've heard this song before, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down. It fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99. That's cheap talk there. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Yet you give. You give yourself away. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. He gives us this gift because he loves you and he loves me. And that gift that Jesus gives is eternal life, eternal security. They will never perish, Jesus says. They will never perish. That word perish means they won't be destroyed, they won't be killed, they won't be ruined, they will not die. My sheep will never die. We're talking about eternal life forever and ever and ever. Salvation, this gift given to us by Jesus, through Jesus. And we see that this eternal life that Jesus gives, this gift that he gives, is secure in Jesus. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, the picture here is of the sheep and a good shepherd. And a good shepherd would protect. A good shepherd, Jesus said earlier in John 10, would lay down in the gate and protect his sheep. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's telling those of us who follow Jesus that we're safe. We are secure in the hands of the good shepherd. And he's also at the same time warning the Pharisees and saying, look, nothing's going to come and steal them away. Nothing. Like, not on my watch. He's very confrontational there. So, for his sheep, their eternity is secure for Jesus' followers. So based on John 10:28, can a sheep be stolen away from the good shepherd? Help me out. Can they? Can a sheep be stolen away from the good shepherd? Well, think about it, all right? But can his sheep forsake, forfeit, walk away from the care and security of the good shepherd and die? Well, the writer of our Core 52 material, Mark Moore, he's done such a great job in the book, and every week he gives a video for the chapter, and it's been 36 weeks. We haven't done this yet, but I thought today would be a good day to allow Mark to explain some of this concept when we talk about eternal security. So if you're taking notes, you're watching at home, go ahead and take some notes now as you listen to Mark talk for about 6 minutes about this topic of eternal security and kind of bring some things together, and then we'll head down the home stretch. Watch this.
Whenever I talk about eternal security, I find that there are strong opinions on both sides. Christians just feel passionate about the topic. Some will say, no, we do have free will and you are responsible for your life. Others say, no, you don't have free will. God chooses you, God elects you, and God secures you. And it's like, it's a really tense topic. But let me just point something out here from the outset. No matter what side of the aisle you're on the other side are people who are just as smart, just as spiritual, just as biblical as you. As a matter of fact, if you look at the topic of eternal security, I can show you a list of scriptures that would seem to say, yep, you're eternally secure, you cannot lose your salvation. But there's another list of scriptures that seem to say, no, you're responsible, and if you apostatize, you can walk away from Christ. He won't leave you, but you can leave him, and you will suffer in hell. Okay, so we've got these two lists, and we've got these two sides of the aisle. Can we just agree right here, you and me, that we are going to wrestle with the text and not with each other? And I think that's important because the contradiction within these texts is not like James versus Paul. Rather, it's Jesus versus Jesus and Paul versus Paul. Case in point, our core verse of the day comes from John chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus says it's an incredible promise. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And you go, wow, that's so comforting. Actually, not in the original audience. See, Jesus wasn't speaking to Christians going, I'll hold you, I'll hold you. He's speaking to enemies saying, not over my dead body. Like they will kill him and he'll raise again and secure his disciples. He was protecting his disciples from Jewish leaders who were trying to apostatize or trying to get them to leave Jesus and seduce them away. But then later Jesus says, in just a few short chapters, John 15, verse 6, he's giving a horticultural imagery of vine and branches. And he says, look, if one of the branches doesn't remain in the vine, it will wither and they will gather up these branches and throw them into the fire. So John 10, oh, you're secure. You know, no one can snatch you. But John 15, it's like, what happened? They didn't remain in him and they got thrown into the fire. You see the tension. Paul's the same thing. Romans 8, one of the pinnacle peaks of the Bible in terms of promises that comfort you. No one can separate you from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor past, nor present. I mean, just nothing can separate you from God's love. That's chapter 8. Chapter 11, another horticultural imagery where Paul says, you got this olive tree, and the Jews are the natural branches. But some of them were cut off because of unbelief, and Gentile branches were grafted in. So again, it's just simple reading. I'm not arguing for one or the other, but it seems like in chapter 8, you go, oh, I'm secure. In chapter 11, you go, boy, I better hang on to Jesus. So it's Jesus versus Jesus and Paul versus Paul. Obviously, there's no inherent contradiction. We just need to figure it out. And part of figuring it out, again, as we wrestle with the text, not with each other, I want to lay out three brief principles that will help you wrestle better with the text. Principle number one, your security is far more dependent on God than on you. He is the one that called you. He is the one through his Holy Spirit that convicted you of sin. He is the one that sealed you with his Spirit when you gave your life to Christ. You are his, and he's the one that pursued you, not vice versa. Let's get that straight. Furthermore, if you did decide to run or to sin or to abandon or have this wilderness wandering, he will be relentless pursuing you to the four corners of the earth. It depends on God more than on you. Principle number two, this is really important. Most of the time, well, I think all the time, when Christians discuss eternal security, they're not discussing their own salvation. They're discussing someone else's salvation. That's a problem. You understand? That's a problem because we're not applying it to ourselves, but we are judging others' salvation. And here's what's quirky about it. Both sides, if they see someone that is outside of Christ, one side might say, well, they were never in Christ. And one will say, no, they were in, but now they're out, and now we need to go get them. Both will respond in the same way, by sharing the love of Christ. So our response doesn't change, even though our opinions do. Third, I think there is an important message in both lists of scriptures, that you are secure. Here's the message. Man, don't walk around with insecurity. And if we lose that message, sometimes those who say you can fall away, they don't preach eternal security. They inadvertently preach eternal insecurity. That's not what they intend, but that's sometimes the message that is heard, that I can't ever be sure if I'm in or out. Boy, don't live like that. On the other side, those that preach eternal security, inadvertently, they don't mean to, but inadvertently can send the message, it doesn't matter what you do or how you live, you will still get the benefits because at one point you believed in Jesus. Boy, that's the wrong message to send. So can we just agree, whatever side that we're on, that we won't let go of the positive message of the other side? And that's why, my opinion, there isn't clarity in Scripture, because God wants us to hold these truths in tension.
So we agree there is a tension, okay? There's a bunch of scriptures, and God's truth is true. God's word is true. On the one side, on the eternal security, but we've got this idea, there's promises, lists and lists and lists of scriptures that promise us eternal security in Christ. We look at Hebrews 10 and 2 Corinthians 5, Romans 8, and then on the other side, there's these warnings that say, hey, you know, be careful now. There's, you know, your faith matters. The things you do matter. There, you have the freedom to choose. To kind of recap and kind of look back, go back to the book of John. I mean, this is where our series is. Last week, we talked about John 6:53 when we discussed communion. Well, in John 6:37, Jesus says these words. He says, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Never drive them away. See, that's the promise. Four chapters later, we read our memory verse for this week. No one will ever snatch them out of my hand. And then five chapters later, as Mark quoted John chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, Jesus says these words. And in this verse, we have the promise and the warning in the same section. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. It's the promise. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. What is going on here? What does Jesus say? Are we secure or are we not secure? What is, you know, the one thing's for sure. As I read this passage, and maybe you'll agree with me, is once in the vine, not always in the vine, all right? That's the that's what's going on here, all right? Just you're in the vine once doesn't mean you're always in the vine. That's the truth of John 15. Now, there's dozens and dozens of scriptures and verses about the promises of eternal security and on the other side, the warnings of the fact that because God loves us, we can choose to forsake Jesus. That's the tension. Again, the verses of promise on one side teach the idea that Jesus is our salvation, and in Jesus Christ, no matter what, we are eternally secure. We do what the Bible says, the Bible way. No matter what, we are assured of our place in heaven because of what Jesus did for us, and nothing can take that away from us. The verses on the other side, they seem to teach that we are free because God loves us, and he gives us the freedom of choice to love and to follow Jesus or to forsake him. So good news on both sides. We have the promise, but we also have the choice. The promise is God loves us, and he will never let us go. The warnings, love also requires choice, always. And God gave humans the love, the privilege, the responsibility of choosing their own destiny. In fact, we see this played out in Scripture with certain characters. One that comes into my mind is Judas Iscariot. Judas, would anybody argue that Judas was one of Jesus' disciples? He answered the call. He followed Jesus for 3 years. Judas was a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus, and yet betrayed Jesus. Eternally secure? I think of Hymenaeus, and I think of Alexander and 1 Timothy, who are listed as those who followed, who were disciples, but fell away. I think of Simon Magus in the book of Acts, where he was a follower of Jesus. He wanted to he desired to get the Holy Spirit, but yet, I mean, there's examples in Scripture. Maybe like me, you can identify somebody in your own life, somebody who you serve alongside, who you know that they were saved to the bone, heart to heart, man. They gave their life to Jesus, and they served alongside, went to battle together, went to a mission field together, went to conferences together, preached the gospel together. We did life together. In Jesus Christ, they were absolutely, positively saved, if you ask me. And then they had renounced him. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus anymore. They walked away. And in fact, get angry with me when I try to tell them that, well, they are saved now because they were saved once. Don't you tell me I'm saved. I don't believe that anymore. And I'm going to get angry if you try to tell me they weren't saved to begin with. You see the tension? Were those people forever saved when they followed Jesus? And forever lost because they didn't. Look, that's for God to decide. It's for God to decide. Our job isn't to judge. Our job isn't to argue, and it's not to resolve this tension. Our job is to love people and to make disciples and walk alongside them, no matter where they might be in their faith. Our job and your job is to not be the subject of that tension. And if you're doubting your salvation today, there may be something going on in your life that you need to fix and get right with God. I don't want to be the subject of your conversation. Is Joe saved or is he not saved? I don't know. The way he's acting, the things he's doing. Look, both sides of this equation have so much value. Scripture. They represent the truth of the gospel, but they also represent some danger. You see, while we can believe that once, you know, we're saved in Christ, no one's going to snatch his hand, we are assured we're saved, there's nothing, you know, look, we can't escape that. On the other hand, our faith, our obedience, our, you know, the way we deal with God, that matters. What happens is, if we're not careful, is that we can end up teaching what we don't mean to teach. And to illustrate that, I just kind of want to, I hope this makes sense to you, but on the one side, to represent the promises of God, all right? Look, we are secure in Christ, all right? Comfortable, man. I have done what the Bible says to do. I understand who Jesus is. I've given my life to him. I have been baptized into Christ. My sins are forgiven. I am secure. My eternity is secure in Jesus. Woohoo! I like our rocking chairs, man. Comfortable. Now, part of the problem is, part of the danger is that I can mistake comfort for salvation. Like, hey, I'm saved, so I should be comfortable. I should never suffer. If something goes wrong, all of a sudden I'm doubting myself. No, look, comfortable. The other danger is, and this is where far more of us probably fall if we're not careful, is that because we know we're saved, we get comfortable in our sin. Paul says in Romans 6, should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. The danger of saying, hey, once I'm saved, I'm always saved, is that sometimes inadvertently we attach to that teaching that I can do whatever I want, whenever I want to, because, hey, why not? I'm going to heaven anyways. We're just comfortable. See how dangerous that is? We can't live there. Can't live there. Yes, we need to be secure, absolutely, in what Jesus did, but let's not get comfortable and think we can do anything we want to or do nothing at all because we're saved. On the other side of the equation is this little guy. Now, I'm a little nervous about sitting on this, but here's the warning side. We got the promises of Jesus. We get in those promises, man, who are secure in Jesus, but let's okay, on the other side is the warnings. Now, some of us, man, we're like the opposite of secure. We're like sitting on this. I am really too big for this slide, okay? All right? I'll just make sure how secure this thing is. But no, look, this is some of us, like the situation I described at the beginning of the message, our salvation's always in jeopardy. Like we're just kind of sitting on the hot seat. I thought about creating an electric chair and bringing it in here because it's like, man, we walk through life thinking at any moment now we're going to slip off into hell. Like we're in big, big trouble. Look, that's not what the warnings of Jesus are about either. We can't live that way. But if we're not careful, we can believe that. And if we're not careful, we can teach that. That our salvation is in jeopardy every time we mess up or we go through a hard time in life. And believe me, we go through hard times in life. We go through seasons of doubt, don't we? We go through seasons of pain and grief and wonder. And we go, what in the world? And we might feel like we're on a slide. And look, that's when we need to look over that and understand we're secure in Christ. And those moments where we feel like at any minute we could slip, to understand the promises. But at the same time, when we're sitting in the promises, we need to understand the warnings, the fact that our faith matters. Where's the middle ground? Where's the balance in the tension? Well, for this, I brought my faith chair with me from a couple weeks ago because The balance is in the cross of Jesus. Our eternal security is found in the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life so that we could hold on to the promises that we have, the security that we have, come through the cross of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we have the promise of eternal life, but also the warnings that we must pay attention to, we got to be careful of, also come from the cross of Jesus. What am I talking about? Well, what I mean is that the cross, literally, the life, the death, the resurrection, the blood of Jesus will force us to, if we take seriously what the Bible says, understand that we are secure in what he did for us. It's not by our works. It's not by the things we do. It's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Period. That's it. So, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you know that you belong to him, you have been baptized, as David quoted earlier, Romans chapter 6, you have been buried with Christ, you have come into contact with his death, you have been risen from the grave, the watery grave, you have come under the blood of Jesus, then you need to live your life secure in him, yes. But at the same time, the cross also, the cross also calls us and forces us to take seriously the warnings of Jesus, because he did not die for nothing. He died so that he could take our sins and get rid of them once and for all and forever. And as Hebrews teaches us, chapter 10 says, if we don't listen to the warnings of Jesus, then indeed we could be guilty of trampling on the blood of Jesus himself. We cannot take his grace for granted, and we cannot ignore his warnings either, and the cross brings it all together. You see, if we will live our life in light of the cross of Jesus, if we will teach and focus and be devoted to the life, the death, the resurrection, the message of Jesus, then the promises, the warnings, the debate, the arguing, they bounce out. In fact, they might even become irrelevant, because we're not spending time wondering who's saved and who's not. We are living for what matters most in life and for all of eternity, living for Jesus. And that's our message. The cross of Jesus, who he is, and what he did for us. I am so grateful for the promises, my eternal security. I am so grateful for the warnings that keep me in line and keep me respecting and understanding what Jesus did for us and why. And I hope you are too. Both the slide, the rock chip, both of those have great value. We need to hold on to that promise. We need to hold on to that security, but not take them for granted. Not do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it. And at the same time, we need to pay attention to God's warnings, because we are called to be faithful to Jesus in our choices. Our choices matter. And if we're not careful, we will wander off and die. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be there. Why? Because of the cross. That's what this is all about, and that's what we can live. That's what we can teach. That's what we can share with other people, the love of Jesus. Here's how I like to think about this, and this is, you know, kind of how I answer this question if people were to ask me. The first thing is that if you're saved in the first place, all right, that's number one priority, is are you saved in the first place? The Bible way, the Bible, have you done what God says to do? Right, if you're saved in the first place, then God keeps us eternally secure in Christ. It's a rocking chair. That's his job, that's what he does. Now, God offers us also the freedom to be faithful to Jesus or to forsake him, to abandon him. And that's the warning of the slide. Now, I will say, based on what I know in Scripture, that it is nearly impossible for you to lose. And I hate that word lose, because it's nearly impossible for you to forsake or forfeit or abandon your salvation. And the reason I hate the word lose is because I lose my keys. Like I did, like Tim, I lost my phone this week, didn't I? It was a disaster, all right? We lose something, and it's like, oh no, I misplaced it. No, we're not talking, look, you don't lose your salvation in Scripture. But if I read the warnings right, it is not utterly impossible to forsake, abandon, walk away from, and die outside of Christ. Nearly impossible, but not utterly impossible. Now, you might agree or disagree. Whether you do or don't, listen, your first priority today isn't someone else's salvation. It's your own. Your own salvation. You see, if you've not turned your life over to Jesus, if you've not come face to face with the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, if you've not confessed him as Lord, if you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then you have no eternal security. Now, don't hear me say you're not going to heaven, all right? That's God's job to judge. We're talking about security, and I can't stand here and tell you that based on what I know in the Bible and scriptures, that you have security, that you have guarantee going to heaven without doing what the Bible says to do, the Bible way for the Bible reasons. And that's what God says to do. And if you've not placed yourself in the care of the Good Shepherd, then why would you think you're under the security and in the hands of the Good Shepherd? In fact, I'd say if you're not in Christ today, then you've got a whole nother slide to be concerned about. Because your eternity is in severe jeopardy. And your answer is in the cross of Jesus. And if you've repented, if you're like me and you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you've confessed him as Lord, you have been baptized into Christ, you've been forgiven of your sins. Look, you've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. You are eternally secure in Jesus. Live like it. Live like it. When you read the warnings of Jesus, don't blow them off. Don't get comfortable. No, look, take seriously what God says to take seriously and live because you're saved, not to get saved day by day by day. You've already made that decision. You don't need to get rebaptized if you've been baptized once before and you're like, man, I know. Let's go back there and remember why and then begin to live that way again. Look, Jesus died for you and he died for me. So that if you're not in Christ, you can come to the cross, be baptized into his death, and if you are in Christ, you can understand he died for you and it's time to start living for him. Don't doubt it, live it out. Don't doubt, live it out. I gotta live by that. And man, I wondered if I should have shared this first service, but I went ahead and did it, so I'm gonna share it again, because these words kind of like, you guys might say, what are you talking about? But don't doubt, live it out. I believe that I am absolutely saved by Jesus Christ and by his blood, all right? But here's the thing. Some days, I got to fake it till I make it. And I know that sounds disingenuous, all right? And somebody approached me after service and said, you need to, actually it was Dick who plays guitar. He said, you need to say, I need to faith it till I make it. You know, because, man, we go through those seasons, we go through those times where it's like, man, but that I'm not doubting my salvation. I'm not doubting my eternal security. I just got to live like it, even though I'm like hurting right now, even though I'm doubting right now. And I think all of us can relate to that in some way. We don't want to live on the slide all worried about our salvation because we're going through something right now, but we don't want to get comfortable either. The key is to repent. The key is to live like it. The key is to be faithful to him unto death. So, living it out and not having doubt. For some of us today, that means that maybe you have not decided to give Jesus Christ your life, to love him, to follow him as Lord. For you today, you need to be saved in the first place. You got to get that settled with God right now. If you want to be secure in Christ, you need to be in Christ. Do what the Bible says to do, the Bible way for the Bible reasons. And if you are a follower of Jesus today, you've made that decision. You have given him your life. You've given him your heart. You love and follow him as Lord and Savior. You've been baptized into him once already. You know that you've been, the blood of Jesus is over you. Then there's no reason to worry about whether or not you're going to make it to heaven. Live like you're going to heaven. That's what this means. Eternal security. You know, yesterday I asked John, he gave the welcome earlier today. On the way out the door yesterday morning, I said, John, I'm talking about eternal security tomorrow. He said, I know. I said, what's eternal security? He goes, eternal security is in Jesus, we're eternally secure if we're faithful unto death. Oh, that's great. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. So, but it's true. We're secure in Jesus, and we need to be faithful to death. God did his part. God did his part to secure us. He always will. God is faithful even when we're not. The Bible says that he is faithful even when we lose our faith. God gave us his son to prove that. He gave us his gift of eternal life. He gave us Jesus, the cross, to prove his love for us. And he promises that nothing will separate us from that love, Romans 8 says. You will not be stolen away from Jesus. No one's going to come in and take you away. He is making sure that doesn't happen. Our job is to respond to his love, respond to the cross, and make sure we don't wander off. We don't die in our sin. We don't do stupid stuff because we're stupid people. No, look, we've got to catch ourselves and just listen to the warnings of God, understand the word of God. And if we decide to walk away from him, understand this, God will chase you down and he will show you a way back to him. He will put somebody in your life, a voice, a scripture, the Holy Spirit, and he will do whatever it takes to show you his love for you to the very, very, very end. And that's why I'm up here this morning. That's why I come on Sundays. That's why some of you lead small groups and you're able to talk. Because look, this is the message that we need to tell people. This is what you need to hear. Look, I'm not here because you need to hear. That's like, man, why in the world do people grab microphones and tell people they need to get? Because look, this is important. This is our eternal security is at stake. And he may be speaking to you today. Because God always does his part, and he might be doing his part through my mouth today. He might be doing his part through a mother, a father who has been praying for their wandering son or daughter, a grandparent. He might be speaking through the scriptures to you today because you decided to open up your Bible. The Holy Spirit might be telling you something that you need to hear. Look, God always does his part, and he loves you, and he always will, even if you wander off. Our part is to respond to that love, to love God because he first loved us. To give our life to him because he gave his life for us, to come back to him, to serve him, to hold tight to him, even through the seasons of life where there's pain, where there's suffering, where there's doubt. And some of us are there this morning, and some of us need to go back to John 10:28, where Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Our eternity is secure and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Not this trial you're going through, not the enemy. No one's going to snatch you out of his hand. Not the grief, not the fact that you're not sure you believe anymore, not the professor at the college. No one's going to snatch you out of the Father's hand. The choice we have to live in the grip of the Father and the hand of the Father is up to us. And how we walk through that every day is so important to recognize. I've talked about this before, but this is just something I kind of have to remind myself on a daily basis. Maybe it's helpful to you. But I know as sure as I'm standing here, based on the scriptures and based on the Holy Spirit in me, that I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came from heaven and earth, died for my sins on the cross, rose from the grave, and because I gave my life to Jesus, I am saved today and forevermore. I have been baptized into Christ. My sins are forgiven. I am eternally secure. If something happened to me right now, I would be in heaven with my Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. But... And this is where really, because of that fact, because I am saved, because no one's going to snatch me out of his hand, I like to picture myself in the hands of the Father. It's like Jesus said, John 10, this is where I do my life. He's got a hold of me and nothing is going to snatch me out of his hand. He's holding on to me. So I'm wandering around in there, little old me, every day, going through stuff. And some days I fall down. He's got me. Some days I wander, he's got me. Some days I get too close to the edge, he's got me. He will always hold me and never let me go. My job is to stay right there. And some days I've got those, and I fall down, I mess up. And I just like to vision God, just again, work with me here, reaching down and picking me up and dusting me off and saying, I got you. I got you. Let's go. Come on. I got you. I'm warning you, but I got you. And sometimes, this is the beautiful thing about the body of Christ. Some of you are in the palm of God's hand with me. And I thank God for you, Johnny. I thank God for you, my friends, my elders, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who when I fall down, you walk up next to me and you pick me right up. You grab me by the nape of the neck sometimes and you say, hey, look, don't you stay down. Don't you wander off. He's got you. And we're in this together. Let's go. And I'm so thankful for that. That's the kind of church we belong to. That's why Celebrate Recovery is so important. We need each other in those times when we fall, when we wander. And the beautiful thing about eternal security is that as I live my life out in the palm of God's hand, daily basis, every day, he's walking. We're together. Through the storms, they're coming. He's got us. Everything that comes at us, no one's going to snap. Look, he's got us. And then one day, maybe very soon, the same hand of the Father that has walked and held me through life, through the storms, through every single fall and every single wandering moment, will take this little guy, Joe, to heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever because of what his son did for me on the cross. My eternity is secure. And the same hand that held me on earth will hold me in heaven. It's my Father forever. Eternal security. And I hope you can say that with me today. I hope that you know, because of what Jesus did on the cross, that you are in God's hands. And your eternity is secure because of what Jesus did. You're not earning it. You don't deserve it. It's what he did on the cross for us. And if you don't know for sure, if you've never made that decision to give Jesus your life once and for all and forever, if you've never been baptized and forgiven of your sins in his name, if you're not walking with Jesus, repenting of your sin, understanding, confessing him as Lord, you can make that decision today and have that security, not because of what I've said, but because of what the Bible says. And I want to invite you to do that today. Come to the cross of Jesus. Give him your life. There's going to be people up front that talk to you. We're here. We can counsel you through that kind of thing, share scriptures, talk, whatever. And if you are in Christ this morning, you're like me. You're standing here going, look, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. My eternity is secure. Live for the cross of Jesus. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Let's walk around with Jesus on our lips. Teach Jesus. Live Jesus. Share Jesus. Live because he died for us. And if today you need to come back to him, you've wandered off, you've fallen down, let this be a place and a time where you can come back to Jesus and live for him. We'll be up here to pray with you, to talk through some things. Maybe this is the week you get into your small group and you say, hey, look, I need to talk to you guys. I need to talk to you ladies. I need to talk to you. Look, I have fallen down. I need help. Look, do it. Do it. Don't get comfortable in your sin. Maybe it's time to join a recovery group. Maybe it's time to, look, no matter where you are today, I believe with all my heart, you can be eternally secure. We know that based on what Jesus said. We also need to live with him and be faithful unto death. Let's join together and do that as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's go ahead and stand together. Let's have a word of prayer. And sing and celebrate. God, we are about to sing a song to you. You are holy, God. We love you. Thank you. Hallowed be your name. Your will be done. God, it is your will for every single person in this room, every person watching, every person in the sound of my voice, every person who cracks open a Bible, who understands who Jesus is, every single person to have eternal security because of the love and the death and the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I thank you for the promises of Scripture that call us to the cross, because it is that promise that we can have, the promise of Jesus, the promise of your death and resurrection, that we can have eternal security. God, I thank you for the warnings in Scripture that continue to push us towards the cross, to realize that you didn't die for nothing, Jesus, that you died for our sins, and we don't want to live in that sin. So God, continue to grow us as we follow you together. And God, right now I pray that if there's someone here today, someone that needs to make that decision forever, God, to put their life in your hands, that they would come to the cross of Jesus, this common ground we all have, and give their life to you once and for all and forever, to be washed in your blood, be forgiven of their sins, and have new life in you, eternal life in you. And God, for those who wandered off, for those of us, our friends and family that have, God, we lift them up to you. Bring them back to you, God. Use us however possible. Some like sheep will go astray, but I pray that we'll understand the love you have for us and come running back to the Father with open arms. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, your wonderful Son, God. Thank you. And as we sing this song, we know, God, that you are ours and we're yours. Build our life, God, in his name. Amen.